It's Thursday, January 21st. Welcome to Market Foolery. I'm Chris L. Joining me in studio today from Motley Fool Funds, Bill Barker. Good to see you.
Good to be here. Good to make it in.
Holy cow. The commute.
Today actually is one of the easiest commutes I've had all year. But apparently the commute last night for some out here, and I was not coming from out here in Virginia, but this was pretty bad, you say.
It was pretty bad, and we'll get to the snow because there was really bad driving in the D.C. area last night, and that was with, I'm going to say, 1.5 inches of snow on the ground. And
If that,
and we've got more coming this weekend. We will get to that.
A little bit more.
Let's get to some earnings, though. We've got some airlines putting up some pretty good numbers. We'll start with Verizon, though. Fourth quarter profits and revenue coming in a little bit higher than expected. More subscribers. Looked like a nice end to the year for Verizon.
Yeah, it was a nice end of the year. A little reminder that not everything is oil and China related, and Verizon's business is not particularly oil or China related. So, people keep adding to their mobile use, and Verizon Fios is doing well, and it's another good quarter, and they are probably the top choice in the telecoms for most these days.
For all the talk of how the big banks innovate, quote unquote.
Is it you doing this talking? Who's talking about the big banks?
It seems like from time to time when there's a conversation about the federal government responding to how the big banks are making money, particularly in the wake of the financial crisis 2008-2009, one of the things that is mentioned frequently is, well, look, the banks are always going to innovate faster than the federal government can regulate. And they have proven over time that they are pretty nimble at financial innovation. I would argue, however, that
including the products that brought us 2008.
Yeah, exactly.
Very innovative.
I would argue, though, that the telecoms are pretty darn good at innovating, too. If you just think about your own experience as a consumer and think about how the billing has changed over the last, I would say, two decades, where once upon a time, before mobile phone use was as ubiquitous as it is today, it was all about, well, how are we making money? Long distance charges. And then it became texting. We're going to charge you by text. And then it became, oh, well, we have unlimited text. We're going to make our money off of data. And they've been able to innovate at a pretty nice clip.
Yes, and I think people are, although maybe when they get their monthly bills, a little alarmed at times at just how subtly everything keeps moving up. But they are addicted to their phones, and I don't see that changing anytime in the near future. And you know, the more that the companies bring them plenty of data, I think people keep paying up. Although there are competitors who would like to drop the prices of all this.
Yes. Speaking of which. Let's talk about T-Mobile for a second.
It's not all great Verizon news today.
Yes, because T-Mobile, a competitor to Verizon, a smaller competitor to Verizon, has done something that I find completely delightful, and I really hope more companies start to do this. And we'll actually tweet this out on the Market Foolery Twitter feed, but is it John Legere? Is that his name? Is the CEO of T-Mobile? John Legere and his team have put together, in anticipation of Verizon's quarterly conference call, they have put together the Verizon earnings call drinking game. And basically trolling Verizon for every time that they, you know, for example, take a drink every time Verizon references year-old network tests. Take a drink every time Verizon says millennials or the young people. Take two drinks if Verizon talks about monetizing something or someone. I love this.
Yeah, he did. John Legere partly just likes to have fun. And this is a fun way to poke at your competitor. It's effective also in getting I was driving in this morning. I was listening to CNBC, and they were talking about Verizon, and then just immediately started talking about this. And the tweet had gone out, and text had gone into the anchors, and so they just started talking about T-Mobile. And very effectively, Laguerre has once again turned the attention toward himself, and that's what he needs, is more people considering T-Mobile, because there are a lot of potential customers out there. A lot of people are kind of mentally locked in to whatever they've got. They don't pay that much attention to how much they're spending, perhaps. And he would like them to think about T-Mobile. And this is yet another way that he gets on the radar screens.
I really wish, I really hope more companies do this. And probably worth reminding listeners that once upon a time, Richard Branson did this type of thing. Richard Branson, when he was starting up Virgin Airways, pulled all kinds of stunts to poke at British Airways and was very effective in doing that.
Yeah, there's a role for the smaller, nimbler competitor who has a sense of humor to take the kind of chance. This is not the kind of thing that obviously you would expect AT&T to do if it were
right.
Similarly concerned about Verizon's jargon in their calls, and I have no reason to believe that AT&T's jargon is any different than Verizon's. But I guess this will possibly get people to listen to Laguerre. He'll get some time. He'll get some offered time on CNBC today. Talk about this.
Brilliant move. Southwest Airlines.
Do you see yourself playing this game? Earnings conference calls in the morning.
Right. No,
not a great time to drink. But I mean, they're on. They're taped, right? They're recorded.
Yes.
So, say you're stuck at home over the weekend, snowed in somewhere, perhaps.
Right.
Now you've got something to do with all that beer that you acquired, in case you were snowed in.
I think, however, you would want to do this in real time. You would not want to get a transcript of the conference call and just skim through it very quickly and think, oh, okay, they're using the word monetization, because you could be passed out in no time.
Yeah. Do you ever do anything like this to like one of the presidential debates?
No.
A drinking game?
You know what? It's been a very long time since I've played a drinking game. No.
Well, you were probably never that good at them, because you don't drink beer.
I don't drink beer.
If you did play drinking games using something other than beer, that's tough.
Yeah, that is tough.
That's really tough.
Yeah.
Dangerous. Kids out there, do not drink and play games with anything other than beer, if that.
That's your message to our younger listeners? If you're going to play drinking
games?
Well,
by young, I mean 21, 22. Obviously, anybody younger than 21.
Just wait
until you're 21.
Just as you and I did.
Exactly.
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 Southwest Airlines and United Continental both reporting fourth quarter results. Both stocks up about 2.5%, 3%. Southwest's on the surface, their quarter looked better. Record revenue, or record profit, I should say, north of $530 million, really benefiting from the low price of gas. And I don't know, that seems like all airlines would be benefiting in the same way. United Continental, their results not quite as strong, although the stock's still popping a little bit.
Yeah, well, United, and here going back to talking about not everybody is affected by the oil and China story, but here are things which are to the good. And also, United has much, much more of an international operation than Southwest. And so the strong dollar exchange rates hurt there a bit. And also, just people flying to Europe in the wake of the tragedy in Paris, that apparently was cited by United. And, domestically, operations certainly for Southwest were excellent. And when you say everybody benefits in the same way from oil, it's generally true, but they've also hedged in different ways. So Southwest, for instance, has hedges in place, and I can't give you the details to them, but I think they said that they are going to be paying out something like a billion this year on the other side, because they took protection from oil going back up to 80, and so they're
locked in
things, and maybe it was at 50, it seemed fine, and now they've got to pay the other side of that. But on the whole, they'll take those losses, and be happy if, with oil as low as it is and going lower.
Airline stocks in general have had a pretty good last couple of years, certainly better than the general perception of them that they're just a bad place to put your money. Although I would say over time, certainly Southwest has been a really steady performer. If you go back long enough.
Yeah, Southwest is the one that typically, up until the recent past, when airlines actually have done wonderful things for investors, it would have been noted as the exception to the rule never to invest in an airline. And all of the profits and increased business acumen that the airlines have developed in the last couple of years has changed the story a little bit. And there is less competition. All the mergers have made a little bit more rationality in the pricing. They're infinitely better if you are an investor of them at getting people into seats. I can remember back in the day when I would assume that I could find an aisle, to myself and stretch out if I were flying. If you actually get an empty seat next to you, that's like what you talk about. when you get like, how is your trip? Oh, my God. Can you believe this? There was an empty seat next to me.
It was
no way.
It was like Christmas and my birthday yeah. wrapped into one.
Back 15, 20 years ago, it was like, I'm going to have to stretch out on this flight. I need at least three or four seats that are empty together. I'm pretty sure I can count on that somewhere. And maybe not the seat that I'm assigned, but I can move I can move around to whatever seat I want. So that was for the young people out there. We're talking about things they'll never know, probably. But the airlines, as an investor, are infinitely better at utilizing their seats. And on the whole, that's a good thing.
Let's talk about the snow. Because we've got...
What else can people talk about?
Well, certainly in the D.C. area. But I got an email right before we started taping from our friend to the north, Jim Gillies, who's is planning to be here at Fool HQ next week. So hopefully we're going to get... for our Canadian listeners out there, well, really for all our listeners, who doesn't love Jim Gillies, right? All the listeners love Jim Gillies.
Write in. If you don't love Jim Gillies,
no.
Write in because we don't believe you exist. Yeah. That's what you're saying.
That's pretty much it. MarketFoolery@fool.com is our email address. But no, we have a couple of our Canadian listeners have recently waited like, hey, can you talk a little bit more about Canadian companies? And we'll have the opportunity to do that next week with Jim Gillies. Unless...
Are you saying that none of the other people here are capable of talking about Canadian companies? Like there's something weird about them that we're not... equipped to deal with, or just you don't pay any attention until Gillies comes into town. Which of these two is what you're saying?
Well, here's what I'm saying. I want only the best for our listeners, and in this case, I want our man on the ground in Canada in Guelph, and that's Jim Gillies.
Fair enough. but am I going to be on with him?
Because
that's always as longtime listeners know. That's a special edition.
That is a special edition. So hopefully next Wednesday. Now, all of this is prelude to if he
I'll start working on what I need in place for that now.
All of that is prelude to if he actually gets here. He's planning on flying here on Sunday. And given the storm that is about to descend upon the D.C. area, we don't know if Gillies is going to get here.
He's Canadian. He doesn't know, the capacity of non-Canadians to deal with a foot of snow, which is... less.
Isn't it kind of breathtaking the speed with which the D.C. area goes from everything is fine to full-blown panic? Because that's the thing. As someone who grew up in New England, that's the thing that still amazes me, is how quickly people freak out.
Yeah, So the storm is coming on Friday, for those who care and don't live in D.C. So yesterday, Wednesday, I was driving home. And I said, well, I should stop at the store now, get something. And there were no parking spaces at all. There were about 10 cars circling around for the next space. So that was 48 hours before the storm is supposed to hit.
Because last night we had, again, about an inch, maybe an inch and a half of snow. And nobody in the area in a position of power thought it would be a good idea to pre-treat the roads, which is really the only thing you need to do in that situation.
You should be our snow commissioner for the area because you would know these secrets that are not available to, you know, D.C. area officials.
Yeah, apparently they're treating it like a secret. No, it's a pretty well-known playbook. Just
well-known in Maine.
It has one step, pre-treat the road, and then get out of the way. And if they had done that, we wouldn't have had the horrific traffic snarls that we had on Route 66 and around the Beltway last night.
If you say so, you're the one that knows all these, you know, secrets.
I'm going to find out.
So, Mr. Snow, what do we have to do for this 18 inches that's perhaps 20, 25? 30, you were talking 30 today.
I'm saying you're predicting
30. Over under for your line is 30.
I'm going to go under 30, but 30's not out of the realm of possibility. Yeah. So,
all right.
There's that.
And
here's what
are you going to do?
Here's what I've
newly
already done.
Elected snow commissioner. Snow czar.
I've already stocked up on a lot of firewood, and I have an unopened bottle of Woodford Reserve in my house. So those two things, I'm fine.
That's pre-treatment in your house.
That's right. That's not pre-treating the roads. That's pre-treating my house.
Pre-treating dad.
This is going to be one of those shelter-in-place kind of weekends, right? You just hunker down in your home. Maybe a lot of Netflix, maybe some football, some college basketball.
You know, I mean, had they played this Denver-New England game in New England, that would be all the talk right now. How's that going to go?
Yeah. Well, Denver in January typically gets some snow.
Yeah, but I mean, New England, it will have stopped snowing by then. Or here, I don't know about New England.
Yeah,
it'll
slowly work its way up to New England. But yeah, just...
That would have been interesting.
Hunker down. You know what else you can do when you're sheltering in place this weekend? Sure, you can play the Verizon conference call drinking game. You can also binge listen to some Fool podcasts. So just go to fool.com/podcasts and just listen to your heart's content to past episodes of this, Industry Focus, Motley Fool Money, Motley Fool Answers, Rule Breaker Investing. Fool.com/podcast.
Is there a drinking game for that you have authorized?
You're
asking listeners to send in some rules.
Yeah, if there are,
what would the rules be?
If there are Fool podcast drinking games, by all means, email them to us, marketfoolery@fool.com. And, you know, subscribe to the podcast because, as I say from time to time, they're free. So there you go.
Unlike Verizon,
you got
a lot
pay.
Of subscribers,
you
got a lot of service.
You got to pay up for
not
that.
Free.
Yeah, not free.
Yeah.
Fool.com/podcast. 100% free. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
As always, people on the program may have interest in the stocks they talk about, and the Motley Fool may have formal recommendations for or against. So don't buy or sell stocks based solely on what you hear. That's going to do it for this edition of Market Foolery. The show is mixed by Dan Boyd. I'm Chris Hill. Thanks for listening. We will see you on Monday, weather permitting.